Thank you, Jesus. I'm just so overwhelmed. Like that scripture says, at the foot of the cross, we're in awe of you this morning, God. And I really pray, Lord, like Quentin really prayed over me, that something of you would just shine through your words, the scriptures, but even every word that I bring today, Lord, I pray that it would be of you, that it would bring life to us, Jesus, and that you would do what you've asked and what you are wanting to do this morning, God. I just pray for humble hearts this morning, Jesus, Lord, that when we are humble, we are teachable, Lord, and it's not me that's teaching, but it's, I believe, you sharing through me this morning. So, Lord, I pray that we would lay down our reasoning, lay down our past hurts, perhaps, or things that would resist the message today, Lord. And by your Spirit, God, you would bring us forward. And thank you, Jesus, that you work so tenderly with us. And you are so patient. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, and it's coming up to Jesus, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you were to enter life, keep the commandments. Sorry, it's meant to be Matthew 22. That's my next scripture. That's also a very good one. We'll get there now. I could read any of these, actually. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's something funny about the word all. That is not exclusive to anything. It clapped me in that scripture because he said all three times in that scripture, and it's something to do with a commandment. And the moment someone says all of anything, I'm already intimidated. Because to all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, or the other way around, what is not important, is all of everything you possibly are, you're supposed to love him. So how is that possible? It's the one he picked out of all of them. He could have made it easier. But he picked that you must just basically love him with everything you possibly can, with everything, with every thought you have, with every action you do, with everything possibly in the whole world. You just must love him, and then you've done well. And I must say that I've been thinking about that scripture a lot since I read it, because the only way I've ever seen someone behave that way is when they are completely over heels in love with somebody. I've been watching certain people in the congregation fall in love. I won't mention names. And when you fall in love with somebody, that is not a problem. All of everything of you. If you think about it, when I fell in love with Candace, I've been happily married most of the time for 14 years. Marriages, it's ups and downs, let's be honest. But I fell madly in love with her for the first time 14 years ago. And a lot of all of me happened automatically. I mean, I was a morning person. I didn't like getting, and so evenings, I was ready for bed quite early. But with Candace, she was battling with insomnia at that point. And so quite regularly in the week, we would be walking around Table View in Cape Town, just walking around and doing what I was quite young, so I was doing teenager stuff. Playing hacky sack for days and days together, because that was what we loved to do. I had a Land Rover. It was my first car I bought. It was like a dream vehicle, but I didn't realize that it had a V8 Rover motor in it, and that, to me, the looks was more important. So when I saw it, I was like, ah, oh, awesome. But just to get to the mall, closest mall and back, would like cost me $20, and I was... But that didn't really faze me once I fell in love with Candace. So I would drive, go and pick her up there, and take her wherever she wanted to go. We go road tripping because it's fun to get, you know, go around the towns. And so there was no relevance to cost. I was working at that stage. And I remember quite clearly, I was working as an electrical, I was doing my apprenticeship as an electrician at the time. And so there would be jobs, and then you would come home sometimes, and then you'd go out. And I would get home and climb into bed between jobs because I was so, so tired. And even on the way back from jobs, I used to just kip from the seat. Like, I was very, about my interest for anything else really became irrelevant, including my job. Although I was faithful in it, but to the very least of what I could handle. But it was purely because I was a morning person and I was not getting my early nights. So there was an element of it becoming, it was everything I wanted, was to just be with her. And I encourage you guys, there's two kind of veins that I wanted to focus on today, is where your heart is in your marriage and where your heart is with your in relationship to God. Because the picture of marriage is such a live, physical, tangible experience that we have on earth that has got so many parallels to our relationship with God. And when we can understand certain things, obviously love is very distorted and marriage is very distorted in our time, but we all have an experience of falling in love on earth. So basically, when I fell in love, Corinthians 13 kind of love just happened, just flowed out of me, because I was patient, I was kind, I didn't hold anything against her, she was pretty much perfect, and she still is. Yeah, thought I'd just put that. The other big thing that happened is I became very aware of who else was with her. And at the time, she was doing Year of Your Life in Tableview. And there were a lot of other young guys doing Year of Your Life with her. And I distinctly remember actually realizing that I liked her a lot when she was driving in a car with someone else. And I was like, I was meant to be working. And I was like, hey, what are they doing? And the jealousy rose up in me. I said, yeah, and then I became very skeptical of what you're doing. Not that I didn't trust her, because she didn't really, we weren't. I actually asked her to be my girlfriend a few times, and she didn't answer me. Yeah. Yeah, that hurt. So what I did next was just propose to her. And another thing that came up in me is I wanted to provide for her, even before we were now even dating, because she was at a point in her life where she said she doesn't want to date anyone. The next person that she is with, she wants to marry. And so unless I was serious about it, and that's kind of something I think is quite a good place to be from a lady's point of view, is you want guys that are serious and not just checking things out. So that was good on her. But I had a chill checklist of things that I wanted in a wife. And from a godly standpoint, I was, and probably some personal preferences. But at some point, it's a little smirk here, chat. I'll get to a scripture, another scripture. No. Time. Okay. I'm going to have to, this has happened a few times since I've preached. You guys must give me more time. No, anyway, so jumping to the, fast forwarding a bit, it was about to get juicy, but then I must move to, no, but basically my heart became infatuated and my attention was on her. I wanted to provide for her, and the only way I could do that was to marry her, really. And I've been so, it's been great, because of, firstly, she was following God, and I was following God, and God actually confirmed it prophetically anyway. But in Romans 6, 5 verse 6, let's quickly, how much time do I have, Chad? In my intro.
Wow.
I don't know why I always worry when I'm preparing that I'm not going to have enough to say. But God shows his, I'll just skip to 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we're still sinners. So in our acceptance to Christ as a Savior, we're actually responding to his love. As I was pursuing Candace and I was trying to show her my love, she had an option. Like Quentin said, there's an invitation, but we need to respond. If she didn't respond, I would be here or somewhere else, and she would be somewhere else. But because of the response that she had to my love, we're here today, together. The question that I've had for the last few days before Thursday was, I was starting to think, well, when it was my first love for God? When did I first respond to his love? Because he's been, it says in Scripture, we are the bride of Christ, and obviously the bride is his church, but we all make up his church. So it becomes broad, the church, but it comes down to the individual as well. Is that Christ has been, well, Jesus has been pursuing us from the day we were born. There's a lot of scripture and stories like Jonah where he pursued him. There was this thing of God's steadfast love that pursues us to a point where we can respond to him or reject him. And I was actually being raised up in a family that was Christian. It's sometimes hard to figure out when you actually got saved. I physically got saved at about between 6 and 7 years old. But I never really knew when that moment was, that everyone asked when they're 30 years old, say, oh, I'll respond because God's doing this work in me. I didn't really know it. And then on Thursday morning, he took me back to a place when I was 6 years old in Natal. And I, at that stage in my life, I was battling terribly with nightmares. I believe it was a demonic thing because I still remember the dream in particular today that I kept on having, and I remember every bit of it. I remember the feeling of it. I remember the faces in it. It was a tormenting dream. And I was captivated in fear by this dream. It would happen almost night, every single night, and my parents, being godly, came and prayed for me, and I would sense, you know, and I would actually find peace. Until eventually my mother actually had like a word of knowledge saying that it was stickers on my bed. It was from Lion King stickers, and that's why we never ever watched Lion King as a kid. But for us, for the battle that I was facing, that had significance. And with those removed, the nightmares disappeared. But I didn't realize the significance of that event in my life. In that moment, a little six-year-old being tormented was exposed to God's love, which was actually at the time my parents working through and praying for me. And I had a tangible sense of God's love being my protector, being my deliverer. And actually, that was the biggest thing happening in my life at that stage. And shortly after that, I can't remember if it was actually before then or after that, but I gave my life to God. And since then, he's been walking the road continually, actually exposing me to his love. But for me, I had forgotten that moment, until Thursday morning. He decided to remind me of all the things that happened, and it actually awakened that love in me again for him that I had then. I've had love and passion for him, but there was this moment, this portion of my life where it was subdued in a sense of going, I went. So I would encourage you guys, in your marriages, as well as with your, if you haven't even given your life to God, there's a moment to respond to His love, and we can maybe get to that later. As you're hearing the word, allow your, open your hearts to go and hear my testimony of how God delivered me from fear. And that stage in my life, He's done many other things, but that was one significant thing. But then in your relationship with God as well, so as your marriage and your relationship, is actually do a little bit of memory lane of what did God do for you? What did His love do for each one of you that actually made you respond? Because there's certain, it's a key moment. Like I said earlier on, the heart is deceitful above all things. And sometimes your heart can, love can wane in your heart for things. It can move, it can fall away. And it's often because you've forgotten. You've forgotten why you fell in love with your wife. Or you've forgotten how God's love, I don't want to reduce God to just a lover, but He is a lover. He's one of the most romantic aspects to all, like the whole story is in a sense His love pursuing. And the picture of marriage is a picture of it. It's not to reduce God to that. But in the same time, we need to awaken that love and actually ask God to if you're in a place where you are not in your first love, because even in marriage, you can get you can fall in love. And I remember about 5 years in, we went through a hard time. And it took pushing through, it took pursuing each other and remembering and actually doing stuff. But with God, it took me, even now, another refreshing, like I've been saved since I was 7, I'm now 33. It took God and His Spirit to remind me. Because that's a significant moment in your life when your journey started. Because He awakened something in you that is there, that the power of your testimony of how you were transformed from a lost sinner and a lonely person separated from God to actually following Him because of a response to His love. We can easily get into a place as mature Christians of just following what we know is right. But in a marriage, if you just do what's right and you're no longer in love, yeah, you might not be divorced, but there's no demonstration of what God intended for that marriage. So I just wanted to go through a quick list of what being in love looks like.
It's just coming across your own.
Firstly, there's an attraction. There's a desire to be together. There's no regard for cost, like I mentioned. And there's an honoring of someone. Thinking the best, believing the best, putting them first is an honoring. There's a selflessness. There's forgiveness. And there's an interest in their interests. As we go on, and there can be, instead of an attraction, there can be a separation. Instead of a desire to be together, there can be a lack of prioritizing. Instead of no regard for costs, there can be a budget. I'm talking about a heart attitude here, of going, what is worth it for me, you know? Instead of selflessness, there can be preservation, self-preservation. Instead of forgiveness, there can be bitterness. Instead of interest in each other's interest, you can just be self-occupied. loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul cannot be done if you're not in love with him. So the question is, where would you rate yourself? I'll keep skipping a few things. So if you find yourself in a place of complete love and affection, then that's awesome. And I say, I'm in far more affection with God now from a deeper place than I was before Thursday. And it took an encounter with God's Holy Spirit, God and the Holy Spirit, God said, to awaken something of love and the response to love. Like Quinton said, we need to be those who respond. It came through a few Sundays ago as well. We need to be those who respond. We need to be those who are front-footed. We need those that are just even aware of what God is doing. Have you guys noticed how tenderly he's been working with us as a congregation through the different people sharing, through the testimonies, like your testimony? There's an intimate testimony between you and God. No one can undermine that because that's your testimony. And as you're sharing it, it reaffirms something of, this is a corporate thing that God is doing. And he's a jealous God. Just like I became jealous and I became macho about it, God is a jealous God. He will not tolerate us messing around because of his love. And we can look at that from a legalistic point of view, or we can respond to his love and go, wow, I have a God who is determined to show me his love. And that thing of, at the foot of the cross, I'm in awe of you, being our response. And we can trust for God's transformation in that and refocusing. When you are in love, you're not aware of time, you're not aware of all those things. And another scripture is Psalms 37. I found this scripture to be so, let me just find it before I, otherwise I'm going to take. Psalm 37, verse 3, it's David speaking out something that I read this today. It was just so profound. Fret not yourself, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. I found that such a key scripture for returning to God and committing to God, because it starts off with trust. And trust is a letting go. I got a prophetic word the other day, which hit me square in the eyes, and I didn't know what to do with it. But that slowly but surely, I've been trying to allow God to work it, and it's letting go. I got told just to give up, let go of what God's plan is, because I like to have a strategy and plan and all that stuff. And God just, through the word, just gave me a lefty across the face, going, let go, trust in me. And that's where your response comes from to God's love. Because we can not understand love. It even says, I'll read it a bit later, but no one understands the heart. But trust is a decision. It starts with forgiveness. Because coming back or life experience, sometimes you can have a distorted picture of God. And you may not if you're coming for the first time, it may not have that, but it's when you come back in your marriage or to your wife or to your it comes back of forgiveness. Going because no, I won't rabbit trail too much. Then and then honoring. Trust is honoring someone. If I trust Uncle Bob, I'm putting his way above my way. But it's honoring to Uncle Bob because I don't have to. But as him being my leader in that form, I submit myself to him. That takes trust. And then the other point in that was dwell. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. What a cool way of saying that. Dwell in the land and so to dwell in the land firstly means you've got to be in the land. You've got to position yourself in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. To delight yourself means to find happiness in. It's quite a challenge, actually, because we, in this day and age, are trying to find happiness in so many different things. And to return to God or Anyway, cheers. Commit your way. Commit. Is it really up? No. Commit your way to the Lord. To commit means to pledge or bind. Yeah, how cool is that, eh? What an honor it is for us to firstly be pursued by God and to experience his love and then have the opportunity to commit to him on this earth. I must say, I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that he firstly gives us the opportunity to commit to him. I mean, we don't. It's not even needed to be said how unworthy we are to be able to bind ourselves with a living God who reigns and rules. He's like the ultimate shining, knight in shining armor. He is the ultimate. All those stories are based on what God has actually done for us. The ultimate. Every man wants to be the knight in shining armor, to be that one who comes and he sacrifices his life and he does. He is the knight in shining armor. And he's asking of us, as he reveals his love to us, of coming back and sacrificing and making a way for us to say, commit your way to me. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. How beautiful is that? Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. When you just in verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So as we find our happiness in him, he's also going to give you the desires of your heart. It's just like crazy, man. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers, over the man who carries out evil. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. And in the end it says, but those who wait patiently will inherit the land. So not only will you dwell in the land, but it will become part. Oh, heaven awaits, hey? Heaven awaits, where there's going to be celebrations and the ultimate marriage of the church to Jesus. And I wanted to actually just end with Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 6. Actually, from 5. Sorry. says, thus is the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. But on the contrary, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So, I believe that God wants to bring restoration about the first love that he has begun in us. There's a lot of us here that have been serving God for years, and there are some that have just begun. But there's a rekindling of that first love that I believe God wants us to respond to. It can be corporately or in your quiet place. But I want to testify to the power that it has in it. Because when you are in love, you don't care about anyone else. Have you noticed how irritating people are when they are in love? I mean, it can be cool unless, but you watch them, they're like touching, and they're always like, where are you guys? No, they were off there. Oh, but we're here. No, they just wanted to go and get an ice cream. Or, you know, there's just an absent light heart, just like, oh, there is a planet. We are on it. You know, there's that. And that is what that's what I believe God wants for us in him. That abandonment of going, God, that scripture of loving you with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, doesn't speak of now that is the law. That just speaks of a desire. I don't read that and go, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I respond to it going, oh my goodness, God, my desire is to please you with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole spirit. Come and help me, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me up to overflowing to be able to respond. Come and overwhelm my rational thinking. Throw away the budget. Throw away the time. Throw away the things that I've put in place to contain you, because you are so much bigger than that. Your life is so deep, so wide, and you are pursuing me. How can I respond? How can I do anything other than to be with you, to seek you out in the quiet place, to find you? God, you are a God that pursues us, but you don't make yourself distant. You want to come draw near. Lord, as we draw near to you this morning, Lord, I pray that we would find you, God. I pray for each one of us here, God, that we would have a desire in our hearts to find you again, Jesus, because you are our source. You are our Savior. God, you are our deliverer. God, from loneliness, from fear, from anything that anxieties, Jesus, you are our Savior in shining armor, Jesus.
Maybe let's take a second or two. Like I said earlier, each and our response might be different, but at the end of the day, the invitation is still there. Maybe if you are sitting here and you feel like there's something that's been highlighted to you, please feel free to come to the front afterwards when we are going to have coffee or whenever, so that we can pray for you. If there's somebody that you feel that you need to speak to during the week or just meet for a coffee, please feel free to do that. One thing that I neglected to say earlier was that even though the community groups have closed off, there's no reason for you not to come together and have a braai with somebody that you've been seeing at church or that you feel that you wanted to connect with. So yeah, just in this week, going out this week, for those who are staying in George and that's not going away for holiday, now's a great time to just connect on the beach, connect over a braai vlees. If you want to get fit, come and join us for a cycle early in the mornings. And just, not just to get fit, but just to connect. There's a few guys that cycle in the mornings, and it's just so lekker to go up on the mountain and just pray together as men. If you are looking for a hike, our two experts, Jock and Chad, they'll show you a lekker route to take. They'll tell you to go take a hike. That's so lame. But yeah, just to encourage each and every one of us to connect. I think that's something I need to respond this week is to connect. I've got the time; things are a little bit slower at work. So this last week of work is a little bit slower, and there's definitely time to connect. So I hope you all have a fantastic week. Be blessed. Have a cup of coffee, and we'll see you next weekend. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you.